There are verses that we know by heart, like John 3:16, Acts 2:38. These are verses that we could probably quote. Psalms, I think it's 23 or 24, 23. We can quote these by heart, most of us. Do we know what Luke 8:23? I can't even remember the verse, much less think people would know. Luke 8:23. Do we know what that says? Well, I knew what the verse said, but I had to look up the scripture reference. So I'm really bad about knowing somebody saying Luke 8:23, me knowing what it says. They know what it says, and then I'll try to find it, you know, because I know it's in there. But I was thinking along the lines that of things that Jesus did. He's our example, and he walked in this world, and he had people that loved him, he had people that hated him, he had people that turned away from him, people that came back and repented. I mean, he experienced all the things that we love and hate in this world. He experienced true admiration from his followers. He experienced betrayal from those followers. I mean, but yet he did things that we say we can do. One of them is found in Luke 8:23. And I'll read this in a minute. But this is where Jesus fell asleep when they were about ready to perish in a boat. Now see, we say we have that kind of faith and we have that kind of belief in Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, if I was on a boat and it was about ready to sink, I wouldn't be sleeping. And so my question was, how in the world could Jesus sleep when he was about ready to die? How could he do that? Could you do that? I can't. If I was on a boat and it was about ready to go down, I would have woke up and been running around screaming like everybody else, you know? I don't know what I would do. But I wouldn't be sleeping. But he did. Now, do you believe that he actually slept on the boat? Or do you believe this is just some story to inspire us to be courageous when a storm is coming? Did he actually do it, or was it a story to inspire? Which one was it? He actually did it. Now, is this something we can do? I thought, I can't. How did he do this? How did he do this? Luke 8:22 through 25 says, "Now it happened on a certain day." See, this wasn't Christmas morning. This wasn't Father's Day. This wasn't a day that seemed any different than anything else. This was a day in his life. On a certain day, as Jesus walked and he talked, he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. No big deal, right? Those of us who go out on boats and go out on lakes or have been on ships and stuff, you get on board and they launch out, and just normal, right? You get on a plane, it takes off, it's just normal. Verse 23, "But as they sailed, he started to fall asleep." Now I could see that rocking motion, you know, put me to sleep. That noise, the water, the waves hitting. I could see where he went to sleep. But then a windstorm came down and the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. He was asleep. The boat was filling with water. There was a storm that was upon them. They were sinking. Not that they were going to sink. They were sinking. Water was filling to the boat. That's how a boat sinks. Water gets into the boat. That's how the boat sinks. And he's sleeping. And so, of course, the disciples came to him. Verse 24, they came to him and woke him up. "Master, Master, we're perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased. And there was a calm. Verse 25, "But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were so afraid and marveled at the same time. And they said to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." And so when you read this, and you ask how Jesus could do this, there's two things that stand out. Probably stand out more than others. What are they? He had power over the water. And what? Faith. There you go. There's two things that stood out. The easiest two things that we see here is faith and power over the elements. Now, we have faith. But I know when it's raining at work, I can't command the rains to be still. When the wind is blowing at work, I can't command the winds to be still. I have faith, but I have power over the elements. I mean, by faith I do, but I can't do like he did. But these are the two things that we see. But there is something else. There is something else that allowed Jesus to sleep when he was about ready to die. Well, that's one. I certainly, he knew he was going to raise. That's something that I didn't think about. But he went to sleep knowing. Well, I mean that's one thing that I'm gonna cover right next. John 12:32-33. Jesus said this. He said, "And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." We preach the gospel. That's how we're going to get people here. We can get people here other ways. But we're going to preach the gospel to get people here because why? If they see the gospel and they're drawn to it, then they're going to come here. You can't trick somebody into being interested in the Word. You got to say, "Here's the Word. Come to it." Right? Verse 33. "This he said, signifying what death he would die." So Jesus knew what kind of death he would die. Well, that's an easy one. So if Jesus simply knew how he was going to die, and people might say that's it, you know, he could sleep on the boat because he knew he wasn't going to perish in the boat because that's not how he was sent to die. That's an easy one. I mean, did he know that at that point? I would say probably yes. I mean, there's earlier times in his ministry. But he told his mom when they were at the wedding feast, he said, "My time has not yet come." So he knew before his ministry started that of things that were going to transpire. Did he know exactly how he was going to die? I would say that he knew that he was going to die for the atonement of sins. And I would say that reading Scripture, he knew how he was going to die. So is that the answer? Is that how he could sleep? Is because he knew he wasn't going to die? In a boat? He did. If Jesus simply knew how he was going to die, what comfort and faith would this produce in us? Do you know how you're going to die? Can you have faith that today is not your day and tomorrow is not your day? So you can do whatever you want. You're driving down the road and you don't have to worry about dying in a car accident because you know you're not supposed to die today, or you know that you're not going to die in a car accident? If this is the answer, then how is it that if this is the answer and Jesus knew that he wasn't going to die in a boat, that doesn't help us at all because we don't know how we're going to die. But he did know, but this is not the answer. We see the same kind of faith that Jesus has a couple other times. One was even mentioned this morning that I didn't even think about. I was trying to find ones that clearly showed this. Daniel in the lion's den was a good one. Daniel laid down his head. How do you do that? You wouldn't catch me doing that. Wild animals in there. They don't have to be bears. If they're lions, that's good enough. But we see this faith other times. 2 Samuel 24:14. And David said to Gad, he said, "I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great, but do not let us fall into the hands of men." David said this, And David saw Uzzah fall by the hands of the Lord. You see, Uzzah was a servant of God. And they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel from the Philistines, I believe. And God instructed them not to carry the Ark on a cart, but he said, carry it by the handles that went through. Carry it by men. And that's because man has always carried the Word of God to the world, right? We don't rely on something else. It's us that does this. I'm sure there's other reasons, but anyway, so he carried them. But they put it on a cart, and the cart was going along, and the wheel fell off, I think. And so he rushed up to touch the ark so that it wouldn't fall and hit the ground. He was a servant. You know what happened to him? He dropped dead. Because God said, do not touch the ark. He told them, do not touch it. And he died in service to God. So here's David. He says, and he knew this. He says, let us fall into the hands of the Lord and not into the hands of men. So why did he choose this? Why did David choose to follow God who struck down Uzzah because he was only trying to help and he knew that dying could be in service to the Lord? Why did he choose this? It's faith. I mean, this is the reason why, because he trusted God more than he trusted men, but he knew that he could die. So there's another reason. It wasn't just faith that made Jesus do this. It wasn't just faith that made Jesus fall asleep. There was something else. And it could be argued at the end of this that this is wrapped up in what faith is. But it was more than this. And we see other things, the same kind of faith in other people. David trusted God like Jesus trusted the Father. Okay? Acts 16:25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So here's two people. They're serving God. You're here. Someone comes into this congregation and arrests the two of y'all because you're serving God. They shut down our doors. They throw us out. Not unheard of. They've done it. They do it the world over. People don't want to hear. This neighborhood don't want to hear about God. We're right down the street. We're neighbors to these people. They don't come in here. And so they take y'all two away. Y'all going to be singing in prison? Is that what they do in prison when they lock you up for not doing anything wrong? Paul was blinded by the Lord and his eyesight never fully recovered. The thorn in the flesh that Paul was given, there's evidence that it was his eyes, because there was someone who said that I would give you my eyes if I could. And see, I don't think Paul could ever really quite see as clearly as he did before. God said he did it to keep him humble. And certainly if your eyesight was fading, you can't be a man that's feared too much, because the person that's coming to you can't see very well. So it kept him humble. But anyway, Paul was blinded by God and his eyesight never really fully recovered. And here is somebody that had to live with this, and he's in prison and he's singing. Is this what you would do? If you were in prison, would you be singing? I don't think so either. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. I don't think I'd be doing that. I think I'd be a little mad. I think I'd wonder why this is happening. I think I would wonder when I'm getting out of prison. Certainly somebody's going to rescue me because I haven't done anything wrong. I was doing the right thing, so I'm going to be mad until I get justified. They were singing. The boat was sinking and Jesus was sleeping. I want to ask you this. Don't you want that kind of peace? I know I do. I do. If Jesus was able to do that, and he was the only one able to do that, then I would know that I couldn't do that. But I see the same faith in Paul, Daniel. Who else we talk about? David. I see the same faith in these people to put trust in God in times when their life was in jeopardy or their livelihood. I mean, being in jail doesn't mean you're going to die in there, but certainly it's not a place that I would want to be, and I would not be singing. So what's the answer? Luke 22, 41 through 42. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying," is that the, yeah, the last. Verse 42, "saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And so we read this and we say, okay, it goes back to he just trusted in God. And so you just got to believe, right? That doesn't help anybody. Somebody telling you just got to believe and that's going to be enough, and you go on and you're scared and you're unsure and you don't know, and you don't know the answer to how Jesus was able to sleep in that boat and Paul was able to sing in prison, and they tell you just got to trust God, you just got to believe in God, and they send you on your way. That never worked for me. That never worked for me. It's true, we do need to trust God, but it never worked for me, because what am I trusting? That he's going to deliver me from prison? He let me go into prison. That he's going to deliver me from a sinking boat? The boat is sinking and I'm out in the middle of the water. What's going to happen? Paul got shipwrecked and he said, throw me overboard, because I'm the reason this is happening. And Paul floated in the water, what was it, 2 days? Day and night at least, and he's just floating in the water. So all the things that you fear could happen, God could let happen to you. And you're just going to trust in this and be happy and go on and sing in prison? No. I want to know how Jesus was able to sleep in the face of what he did. I want that kind of peace. God said I can have it because he gave it to other people, and I want to know. And if I can't get it right now, I want to know how I start that process. And so here, Jesus is about to be delivered to not have a life after this. You got to understand that once this happened and he was taken away, there was no more going home to sleep. There was no more dinners with friends. There was no more seeing his disciples. This was the end of his life. This is what they would call in prison today a dead man walking. Someone who's on death row, and they make that walk to the electric chair. They'll say that. They say dead man walking, meaning nothing's going to stop his death. Dead man walking. And this is where Christ was. Once he was delivered after this, the same would have applied to him. He was not coming back out. There was no reprieve in this world for him to go back home and sleep in his own bed anymore. To have his mother bring him a cup of soup and then to sit there and laugh and talk. His life was over after this. In this world, okay? Let me ask you something. What service doesn't end in death? We serve our spouse, right? And they serve us. We do the best we can. But what service doesn't end in death? Yeah, that doesn't end. We serve our families, but yet we have been to all of my grandparents' funerals, except I think. I know I didn't go to one. I was young and I was out of town. Stupid, but I don't remember the other two, but I remember my nana's. But anyway, I've seen my family being buried. My sweet aunt died not too long ago. What service that we have doesn't end in death? Jesus, like David, like Paul, had not only committed his life to God, but he had committed also his death. See, that's how he was able to go to sleep. There's more, but this is where I stopped for a little while, and I thought, wow, this is a great answer. You see, we commit our life. That when we're immersed, we say that we are serving God, right? And that we're going to live our life in service to God. But these people also committed their death to God. Do you think that Jesus wanted to die on that tree? We see right here he did not. The man did not want to die. But he said, not my will, but yours be done. So he had committed his life to serving God. And by doing that, he said, however I die in service to you, that will be your will, your great pleasure. I am in your service through life or through death. So Jesus, it wasn't that he knew that he wasn't going to die on that boat. He knew that when he trusted God, that God was in control. And however he died, he would not die to the Lord. He would only die to this world. And he was able to sleep knowing that just as he served in life, he could also serve through death. You see? We commit our life to God, but we're all concerned about the things that happen later about, I mean, you know, it used to be that family took care of family, and now, you know, both people work. We don't live with family anymore. As soon as we can, we fly the nest, and we don't have these huge homes that we grew up in, and the big staircases where it was grandma and grandpa's house, and the parents lived there, and the children lived there, and then when the grandparents passed away, the parents moved up, and it's not like the Waltons, okay? It's not like that anymore. That wasn't such a bad life. They had each other. But this is not how we live. And so we have to face, you know, my wife and I, we bought a house, and we tried to make sure it was one floor living, because we figured the next place we would move from here is either the grave or the nursing home. Nobody likes to have those thoughts. But here we're concerned about how we're going to die, how we're going to make this. I thought we were living for God. I've committed my life to Him. But see, in my mind, I haven't committed my death to Him. Jesus had. Paul had. Daniel, when he laid in the lion's den and he laid his head down, he said, if this is the last day that I spend on this earth, and if this animal comes up and attacks me while I'm sleeping, then let me praise you as I fall asleep, because I love you. Right? You understand? There's a difference between committing your life to the Lord and then understanding you commit your death to Him. And that will bring about peace. Won't it? I want that kind of peace. See, if God isn't God in control? I mean, don't we believe that? And if we commit ourselves to Him in this way, are we not in His hands? Do we not serve such a loving God that if we're willing to commit our life and our death to Him, we know that He is in control? Are we not in His hands? Then what have we to fear? Jesus didn't fear dying in a storm. And it's good that you brought that up. He was going to raise. He knew that. But He still had to go through death. If we know that we serve Him, and we will also serve Him in our death, whatever death that may be, can't we find peace in that? Because we're in His hands? Do we not believe that if we're willing to offer up our life as a service and our death as gratitude, that we wouldn't be in His loving hands? Wow. And see, when you think about it like that, you could see where the peace was that Jesus fell asleep and that Paul was singing in the prison, because he had given his life to the Lord. What did it matter he was in prison? What did it matter if he was going to die? He was serving God, and he would forever serve God. What an amazing place to be. Galatians 2:18 through 20. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, Paul is talking to the church at Galatians. He's talking about the building the righteousness under the law. He says, I make myself a transgressor. If I don't believe that it's Christ that paid for my sins, and I try to go back to the law and I try to justify my own sins to wait for the Redeemer, which is insane because the Redeemer was already here, had already come. So why would you go back and wait for another Redeemer? He's already come. But anyway, he says, if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He's telling the church. He's telling y'all. He's telling us. Verse 19, For though I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He tells you everything you need to know right here, but this is so deep to understand. He says, I've died to this world. Just as Christ was a dead man walking, so are we. And He says, I have died to this world. It is no longer I who live, but Christ. Wow, so powerful. And He even tells you that. He says that by faith I live through the Son of God, and He gave Himself for me, and now I will give myself for this world. I will give myself for this for my family. I will give myself for those who will hear and respond to the gospel. We think of only living. We don't think of dying. We think that we live, and then when it gets time to when our service becomes harder and we are passing away, and we fear that because we say we still want to serve. But service in life, by making that commitment that we serve Him in life, we say that we've been crucified to this world. Is that how we feel? It's not how I feel. It's not how I understood it. You see, if we see Jesus only giving His... I want you to listen to this. If we see Jesus only giving His life on that tree... Only on the tree. Because, right, Jesus died for us. He died for us. What does that make you say, think, when I say that Jesus died for you? What does it immediately make you think of? Him dying on that tree, correct? That's not the only way He died. If we only see Him die on that tree, then we fail to see how He truly died to this world and how we are asked to live. If we only see Him die on that tree, then we don't really understand. If we only see Him die on that tree, we don't really understand how He's asking us to live. Because He died many more ways than that. He denied Himself of a family for the family of God. He denied Himself a wife so that we could be the bride of Him. You understand? He denied Himself these things. He died this way. You who are married, do you not love your spouse? Do you want to be separated? Nobody does. But He denied Himself this, so He died. Do you not think that Christ could have thought of a family that He could have had? Of course He did. In the garden, He said, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to stop His life. He didn't want to die at this moment. He felt like He had others. He had commitments from people. He had love for people. He had people that were close to Him that He taught. He didn't want to give all that up. He died many more times than He died on that tree. And so when we say that it is that who loved me and gave Himself for me, that's a better way to put it. He gave Himself for me in every way. This is a lot of reading, but it's important because this is going to give us the answer. See, I stopped up here that He had committed His life and His death to Him. And I thought, man, that's just great. That was just great. And I kept meditating on this, going over and over in my mind, and it got a little deeper for me. Hebrews 9:23 through 28. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. So what he's saying is, and what he's about ready to go over, is that where the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies to present that blood, this also happened in heaven. He's saying that these are mirror images of one another, and he's saying that the heavenly is greater than the earthly, but the earthly shows us so we can understand what happens in heaven. We got that? Right? That's what he's saying here. Copies. Copies. We know what copies is. Verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. Jesus did not enter the Holy of Holies here. Do you know why he didn't do that? He wasn't a priest here. under the Levitical priesthood. Only the Levites were able to enter the Holy of Holies. He was from the line of Judah. He was not allowed to go into that Holy of Holies. So the Bible says that he did not enter the earthly place, which are copies of the true. That's not a copy up there. This is a copy down here. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now he's going to tell us why, but he's going to use the earthly example. Why did Jesus have to go into the Holy of Holies in the heavens and present himself to God? Why did he have to do that? It tells you in the next verse, it tells you. Verse 25. Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. See, he's showing us here that the earthly tabernacle, the high priest would go in with the blood of another. He'd have it touched on himself in certain places, okay? And without that blood, he could not enter there, or he would have died. This was no joke to God. This was an atonement for sin. This is why Jesus died. And he had to go in there and present that blood to the Lord. Did he not? So why did Jesus go into the heavenly Holy of Holies to stand before the Father? Why did he do that? But now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sins by the sacrifice of himself. He went before the Father to present his blood. Do you understand what that means? God looked down at the earthly tabernacle and he saw that blood of bulls and goats and he awaited. He rolled back their sins because he was waiting on his Son. And now his Son went into the heavens and presented his blood to the Father. Not the blood of bulls and goats, not your blood, but his blood. And he went to there and he said, just as the earthly tabernacle, just as the earthly priest said, we went before God and he says, do you accept this? And God says, I accept this because this is what I asked. And so guess what, Jesus, when he went before the Father with that blood, it was the same thing. Father, will you accept this for atonement for sin? Verse 26, if that wouldn't have been enough, then he would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the ages, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, Jesus was a man, he died. He died. Every one, and he says, where after they pass, where do they go? Same place he went. The judgment. Wait a minute. He was judged? Why do you think he had to present his blood before the Father? Why do you think he had to present that blood before the Father? So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time apart for sin for salvation. The reason I put that in there is because that clearly showed that God accepted that blood for our sin debt. Not for his, but for ours, because now he is coming back to offer the salvation through him that God gave him to give to us. So God did accept that blood. So you want to know how Jesus slept on the boat in the face of death? What concerned Jesus more than death was disobedience. For even he had to stand before the Father in judgment, as well as we will also stand before him. Jesus was more concerned about disobeying his Father and on that day that he would present that blood to his Father than he was about dying. That's amazing. Jesus was judged for our sins. God said, am I going to accept the death of my Son, the blood of my Son, to atone for your wrongdoing? Our wrongdoing, not me pointing at y'all, it's ours. And Jesus says, will you accept this blood for their wrongdoing? And if Jesus had disobeyed, you know what God could have said? I see you as unfaithful. If Jesus had disobeyed, he would have said, "I see you as unfaithful." And so if the boat was about to perish, and he didn't have faith that God had this in control to allow peace, then he would have been unfaithful to God, wouldn't he? I mean, that's a little thing, and I'm not saying that's how God is trying to be sneaky. He's trying to produce real faith in us. Do you understand this? Real faith in us. And if Jesus hadn't trusted his Father, that the will of his Father would have been acted out through him. He says, if I commit my life and my death to you, I believe that you are able to work out this plan of salvation. And if he'd have worried about dying on the boat, if he'd have worried about all these other things that could have happened to him, he wouldn't have been able to do that because he would not have trusted God. And on judgment day, his judgment day, when he presented that blood, he would have said, "You never trusted me." I can prove that because David was penalized. God did not like that David numbered his men and didn't trust in the Lord. You mean to tell me that the only way you trust me is if you're in a boat and it's not going to sink? So if you're in a boat and it's going to sink, you don't trust me. You don't really trust me. I find you unfaithful. But Jesus committed every aspect of his life and every aspect of his death to God. And he said, "Whatever happens, I serve you. And I will be at peace with this because I am in your hands." And if he hadn't have done that on judgment day, and if he hadn't have lived that out on judgment day, he would have been found unfaithful. Did you imagine God, Jesus presenting his blood to the Father and the Father rejecting that blood? He did not. We see right here that we are waiting for him to come back because that blood was accepted. And it was accepted for our sins. You see, that's what Peter told the house of Israel in the world. The house of Israel on the day of Pentecost. He told them that Jesus had died for their sins. And if you don't think we had a part in our sins, understand we had a part in his death. And I can't imagine killing the Son of God, there being a worse punishment. A worse feeling to know that you had killed the one that had come to save you. See, that was real faith. They believed right there who he was. And that's all that he's asked. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? They did. And upon this belief, I baptize you into Christ. We can't be baptized into Christ, dunked in water. We can't grab somebody and drag them in here and dunk them underwater. They have to make a confession that they believe one thing, that Jesus is the Son of God. Look at all that he had to believe. Look at all that he had to trust. And Jesus said, if you believe in me, then you believe in all that I did. And you believe in all that I gave for you. And you, if you follow me, follow those who follow me, you will live out the way that I lived. But understand what happened. Are you willing? Jesus said, count the cost. Are you willing to commit your life and your death to me? The Bible says that when they heard this on the day of Pentecost, they were cut to the heart. And he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of his Holy Spirit. And he says, that is a promise that I make to you, and I will not back down on that. I told my son what I expected. And when he stood before me, his only concern was disobedience. Because he said, Father, not my will, but yours. I will not disobey you, even though it cost me my life. He trusted him with his life and his death. He presented that blood before the Father on his day of judgment. And therefore, on our day of judgment, if we trust him and commit ourselves to him the same way, we will be delivered as he was delivered. Peter said that God made us that promise. And we have all the evidence in Scripture to show that he kept his promises. He kept his promises. He delivered Noah, didn't he? But he didn't deliver anyone that didn't get on that boat. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?